Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Dude,
how are you?
I'm sitting in my car.
That's awesome.
I'm sitting in my own podcast studio.
Very, very good. I guess I won't do an intro. We might as well just go like this, right? Just get
sure.
Going. We got some weird situations that prevent us from doing the normal in studio. You have a sick little one, and I'm leaving the country in a couple days, so it's a little crazy around here.
That's right. I got a little double ear infection here at my house, plus a little bronchiolitis. Not to be confused with bronchitis. Bronchiolitis is like bronchitis for babies, or as Mike Milbury would say, Ovechkins.
Exactly.
Well, dude, I mean, I think we got a win last night, didn't we?
Technically, yes. Although I was about as excited as that. I'm about as excited as that win as I was when we beat the Blues on the fluky goal. So.
Well, since our last podcast, I believe we lost to Chicago again.
Yep.
We went to Dallas and lost.
Yep.
In the Joe Thornton, Jimmy Benn, WWE match.
Yep.
And I had every feeling that last night against the Avs, the Sharks were going to come home and lose, and that it was quite possibly going to be the end of the Todd McClellan era if they had lost that game last night. And even though they won, honestly, I still don't feel that much better about the Sharks.
Oh, I don't at all. I think Kevin Kurz said it best. He said, basically, the Sharks can't close against the 14th best team in the West. And keep in mind, this is a team that didn't have their top scorer. And one of their, I wouldn't say one of their best defensemen in Eric Johnson, but a decent defenseman in Eric Johnson.
Yeah, they're missing two good players. You're not even counting Ryan O'Reilly, who they didn't have. And the Avs have two fourth liners score. Chuck Kovacsu, probably one of the least productive players in the NHL in the last couple of years, scores.
Yep.
And then Mark Oliver, who is that dude? He scored.
And I don't know who that is.
And, the Sharks up 1-0 on an amazing pass. That's a pretty great way to start the game. You probably felt pretty good seeing that first 30 seconds.
Yeah, it was great. It's like, hey, maybe they snapped out of it. Maybe they can actually score more than two goals a game. Nope.
They're up 1-0. They blow it. They're up 2-1. They blow it. I think that was probably the most disheartening thing last night, was seeing them get up 2-1. TJ Gagliardi scores. That line has some life with Shepard and Burrish and Gagliardi, and you're feeling like maybe you might have the semblance of a productive fourth or third line, and then they find a way to just cough it right up in what feels like a broken record with this team.
Yeah, pretty much. And I had every expectation at that point that the Sharks were going to lose in regulation. And it almost happened. It almost happened.
Right. Yeah. I was expecting it too, dude. I mean, I still don't think that winning a game in the shootout against a team in Colorado that, like you said, is missing their best player. Plus, the Avs have all but quit on their coach. They are can't wait for Joe Sacco to get fired, and they've been trying to get him fired for the last year.
Yeah.
So you're playing one of the most broken teams in the NHL, with the O'Reilly holdout and everything that goes with it. They're missing, they're missing Steve Downey too.
Yep.
And you barely beat them. and it doesn't give me a lot of confidence against Detroit tomorrow. You know, maybe the only thing for the Sharks they have in their favor is Detroit is playing as we speak right now in LA. They're winning 1-0 as I talk to you in my car. So
yeah,
maybe that will help the Sharks against the Detroit team that's playing a little bit better. Detroit scratched Ian White tonight.
Yeah, I saw that. He's not happy. And for a second there, I said to myself, wait a minute, that means they're playing Huskins? And then I realized that the world was, in fact, still spinning, and Huskins was also a scratch.
Yeah, I think they're playing some guys, some young guys there, and Smith and Kindle, and they must be happy with their production. And that's been my knock on that Red Wings team, is that their blue line has taken a huge dip. But they seem to still have a pulse on the relevancy in the NHL. And I don't know if they're in the top eight right now, but they're still alive and kicking, I guess. I mean, who's in worse shape, the Red Wings or the Sharks?
Oh, the Sharks. Speaking of blue lines taking a dip, do you know where the Sharks rank in terms of defensive scoring in the NHL?
Oh, it's got to be dead last.
They are dead last in scoring in the NHL for defensemen. And this is a team... I mean, Brent Burns is obviously out again. I don't know for how long, but it could be a long time. You know, we have Jason Demers, who played last night, who looked okay at some times and then other times didn't. And Justin Braun's basically doing nothing. You know, Brad Stewart's pretty defensive.
Justin Braun, what happened to him, dude? I mean, are you noticing anything about how he's playing that, I mean, other than not well? That you could put your finger on it, because this guy, when he came up 2 years ago, he got his shot through. He looked like, you know, very effective in this system. And this year, 1 point, one assist, that's all he has. It's just not working right now for Justin Braun.
I think he's got the same disease that the rest of the Sharks have. He's playing with almost no confidence at all. You know, when you're playing for a team that can't score and you don't want to give up any goals because you figure you're going to lose, and you're a defenseman... You know, I certainly don't know what it's like to play in the NHL, but I know what it's like not to feel very confident in your offensive abilities, and you don't want to take the puck up and rush it and then get caught. And to me, that's what it looks like is sort of happening with everybody except for Boyle. Boyle sometimes gets some confidence and goes up, and he created several chances last night, looked really good at times. And you know, Boyle is sort of the, you know, the veteran. He's been through it before, so he can find a way to retain that confidence. But I can easily see, you know, Braun and Demers, their confidence both being shaken, this team not doing very well, and they don't want to be the guy that gets caught out of position, gives up a, you know, a bad goal, and then it's on their shoulders. And they said, oh, I'm just going to play, you know, regular conservative defensive hockey. And you get what we get, which is the defense is basically sparking hardly any offense at all. The power play still looks pretty bad, although there were a couple power plays last night that looked really good and some that didn't. So, you know, at least there seems to be a small step in the right direction on that front.
Yeah, some pretty good movement near the beginning of the game, but I think as we were talking earlier today, you know, the movement just went stagnant near the end, and I can't quite figure that out. Like, how do you suddenly just forget your game plan? Is it just plain old laziness, or what? I mean, how do you forget how to run your power play?
Desperation? I don't know. It's just, I got to get a puck on net. Everybody stand here. I'm in a good position. Give me the puck. I'll shoot. You know, we see a lot of guys, you know, shooting from the point, especially forwards like Marleau and Pavelski getting the puck at the point. And, you know, they're not moving around a lot, or they're not moving as they take the puck. And so there's a guy right in the shooting lane and they bank it off the guy's, you know, shin pads, or it just gets completely blocked and possession changes. So, yeah, I mean, the Sharks look like a team that is playing with almost no confidence.
They're so many three-pointers. Like, they're just shooting from so far away, mm-hmm. and not getting into those dangerous areas. Those shots are, to me, just incredibly wasteful. And they don't accomplish anything. They're not even getting most of them through. They get blocked.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not... It's just not looking good. That being said, I mean, the Sharks for most of the game did certainly look like the better team, but the fact that they couldn't put a team like that away is right. Really, you know, it's hard to take.
It's not saying much against when your opponent is reeling like Colorado, and you know, Joe Sacco trying to put a spin on it, like he was so proud of them for fighting back against adversity. I got a kick out of reading Adrian Dater's, you know, the Avs beat writer's summary of the game, where he hates that team so much. He's got to be the least, and it's not a word, homerish beat writer ever. Like, he just openly hates the team. I was getting a kick out of that. He's just so tired of it.
Yeah.
They're a huge mess. You read that, you just can't feel too great about winning that game barely. You know, barely.
It's funny how
I wanted to see them make a statement and say, you know what, that road trip sucked, but we can write this here at home against three fairly beatable teams. Here we go, seeing Jumbo and Couture connect at the beginning, and then just not living up to expectations.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much the case. It looked like, you know, everything was going good there at the beginning, and then they found a way to sort of sink again. And it was funny to witness a little bit of a Twitter spat between Kevin Kurz and Fear the Finn. And I don't know, they were arguing about Gomez at one point and Corsi. And it was funny because there's dissension in the ranks. You know, Dater is hating on the Avs, you know, clearly. Even those of us in Sharks land are sniping at one another. it's getting pretty damn entertaining.
Go ahead.
I was going to say something about Gomez. I said, you know, I really want to like Gomez so much, but it's hard for me to stick with him because I think the way I thought of it last night, and maybe you can tell me if I'm off here, is he's trying to make plays like a second line top six forward, but he's not actually executing those plays well. It's like he's a third line player trying to make second liner plays. That's sort of the way mm-hmm. Scott Gomez looks like to me. And it's kind of just like not working out. Like the puck dribbles off his stick, the passes don't connect, they're behind the guy. You know, he tries to make a move and it doesn't work out. You know, he sort of got a little bit of that confidence to say, yeah, you know, I have this second line skill. That's what I've been my entire career, you know, even a top line player. And now it's sort of like his mind is writing checks that his body can't cash. You know, it's like it's just kind of not working out. I don't know. What am I saying about Scott Gomez?
It looked like that to me too, dude. And I'm pretty much done with that experiment. You know, I think, you know, right now with Klo being out, Gomez was playing, you know, top 6 minutes, but apparently when Klo comes back, he's not going to get his top six role back immediately, which I don't think is necessarily such a bad thing, because I don't think he really deserves it the way that he's playing anyways. But I would sit Gomez, and I like what I saw from TJ Gagliardi last night, and I think you've got to give that guy a chance.
Yeah, I'm with you. That was, you know, a good line. You know, the Marleau line was more or less invisible again. The Joe line did pretty well. And certainly Gagliardi and Shepherd looked pretty damn good.
Yeah, you know? That was James Shepherd's best effort to me of the season. And they looked good. And on that play, it was very dangerous. And I would play those guys. You know, I'm looking at, they played like 10 minutes. I'd play them 13, 14 minutes. Play them more.
Yeah.
Play them more. Get them out there. You know, because it's not working. You know, Marleau for 22, 23 minutes isn't working. So play him 19 and play the other guys 14 and see what happens. Because it's not working as it is. You may as well try and change it in that way.
It's true. And the thing, I agree with you about Shepherd. And the thing I really liked about that is it seemed like that line was sort of trying to play like a third line. You know, we've had this conversation before where we sort of have these guys who pretend they're not third line players, even though it's a third line. And that was sort of something I was wondering, you know, we wondered about that about Jamie McGinn at one point when he was on the Sharks. And I wondered about that about James Shepherd, who's a number 9 overall pick for the Wild. And the question is, you know, here's a guy clearly had a lot of skill, drafted number 9 overall. Can he adapt himself and play a third line style, a cycling style, you know, where you're not playing with the most skilled players on the team. You know, he's not playing with Joe Thornton and Logan Couture. He's playing with Adam Burrish, and he's playing with TJ Gagliardi. And, you know, can you be effective playing with those guys who are going to be, you know, not overly skilled compared to the opposition? And I thought James Sheppard really did that well. I thought that line cycled well. I thought they played physical. You know, clearly they were rewarded by a nice little play by Sheppard to Gagliardi. But, you know, I was more happy with the way they played not on the scoring shift than almost by the scoring shift. I thought there were several times where they pinned the puck deep. They, you know, created some chances, and they looked like a real third line out there that was like a real pain in the ass. And you see, you know, Burrish mixing it up with everybody and their brother, you know, hitting guys or, you know, standing right next to the goalie and, you know, kicking them a little bit or whatever, you know, Burrish does. It looked like a real third line there for a while.
Yeah, I liked it. And I think that I don't have all the line combos, and I don't know for sure, but just off the top of my head, you know, if you put Sheppard with Gagliardi and Burrish, he's going to play more in their style. If you put him with Gomez and Hanzus, what are you asking for? Like, I mean, those are two guys that are, like you were just saying, they're not able to really fulfill the duties of a bottom six player anymore. Hanzus is a shell of his former self, and Gomez is not a bottom six forward. That's not his skill set. So you've got Sheppard playing with two guys who isn't going to give him that sort of fire or motivation to play in that way when they're not playing that way himself. You know, so I hope they stick with that, and McClellan just gives that a shot to stick together. It seems like that they're going to roll with it. And, you know, Klow, I think, is playing with Desjardins and Hanzus. I'm sure that's going to be a lot of fun for him.
Yeah, that's basically, he, like, McClellan threw darts for that line, you know? It's like, I'm surprised Thomas Greis isn't suiting up and playing on that line. You know, it could not be more random.
Hey, Matt Irwin is back, dude, because Burns is on IR.
Yeah.
Do you play Matt Irwin tomorrow night?
Hell yes.
And if you do, who sits?
I play Irwin, and right now I probably actually sit Justin Braun because the defense, like I said, is last in the league in production, and I thought Demers was a little bit more offensive in the last game than Justin Braun. So I might sit Braun, play Demers, mm-hmm. and play Irwin and see if we can spark a little offense from the back end, because it's just, you know, it's just not working out. And the one thing I noticed Marlowe do like twice in the game, and both times I actually noticed it, which may have been actually the only two times I noticed Marlowe in the whole game. But a couple times the Sharks had the puck, you know, they were starting trying to break out, and Marlowe skated all the way to the far blue line, and it really stretched the D out, and it created more space in the neutral zone. And I thought to myself, man, they should kind of try and do that more, like give him a little bit more space in center ice and see if that will help the breakout and help the break in a little bit, because it won't just be like, you know, 80 guys clog in the center. And of course, you know, that only happened twice. So maybe it was just like a fluke. But, you know, I'd like to see some like different looks from this team at this point, you know, like see what else we can do. You know, put Matt Irwin in, sit Braun, you know, see if we can get Irwin some power play time. Like what could, you know, let's just see if we can spark something at this point. I'm not saying you shuffle the lines like every 2 seconds. I don't really, prescribe to that philosophy. Oh, you know, Thornton had two bad shifts, so now let's put him with Desjardins. But, you know, in terms of the lineup, yeah, we still haven't really found anything, you know. So put Matt Irwin in. He's going to have some enthusiasm. He's going to be excited to play. You know, maybe nobody else is. So might as well put in the one guy who is.
Yeah, I would play Irwin too. I think that they are going to. I don't think they would have brought him up if that wasn't the plan. And I mean, how concerned are you on a scale of 1 to 10 about Brent Burns' health this year?
Oh, 9. Yeah. I mean, groin injuries are bad. They're especially bad for hockey players. And the fact that looking at the replay of whatever it was that tweaked him didn't even look like a serious situation. Didn't look like he went down funny or his leg, you know, suddenly lost grip or, you know, some of those things that can happen that you say, oh, that's a groin right there. And none of those things kind of happen with Burns. It wouldn't surprise me at all to think he might be on the shelf for the rest of the year.
Yeah, so. It would be hard to argue with the decision to just have him sit out, because unless a miracle happens, I don't think that this team is going to be making a deep run to glory. So why risk his long-term health, a guy who you have locked up as a cornerstone of this team, for a year that could go down as a transitional year for this team? And I don't know if it's worth it. Clearly, he's not right. You know, he's had some moments in the last game before he got hurt that I thought he showed some offensive jump. But defensively, you know, he's one of the worst players out there right now. He's a minus five. And, you know, Sharks haven't given up a ton of even strength goals lately, but it seems like he's out there for most of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not looking good.
Dude, you are going out of the country. And when you get back,
yeah,
will Todd McClellan still be the coach of the Sharks?
I think so. I think, you know, my pessimistic self says that the Sharks are going to seesaw just enough for McClellan to keep his job, enough for people to sort of take the Sharks off the front page in terms of teams that are just slumping and relegate them merely to the list of teams that just plain suck and are, you know, underperforming, like the Capitals or something. And I think McClellan's probably going to keep his job for the rest of the year. I think that's likely. I think they're probably going to lose tomorrow to the Wings. I think they will probably lose to the Blues, and then they're going to win some games next week, and it's just going to sort of seesaw like this. If I had to guess, that's what I would guess.
Well, dude, I wish you nothing but safe travels overseas.
Thanks, dude.
I hope that you read the JR book and the Barry Melrose book, as I suggested. It will help you pass time on the aeroplane.
And the Jamie McLennan book? Jamie McLennan, dude. Jamie McLennan.
Jamie McLennan book, the best seat in the house.
I got that one.
When you get back, Sharks Hockey will be waiting for you in whatever state it is. And those of us here at Dudes on Hockey will be awaiting your return, dude.
Thank you, dude. Thank you, dude. I look forward to talking to you when I get back.
All right, go Sharks.
All right, go Sharks.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.